And good morning, also, or good afternoon to those people who are listening to a recording of the service. And we send the warm wishes of the congregation to them. The intimations, Rob, they're not there. there we are, a good start. There's nothing there. All right. Well, one intimation that's not on the screen. Dave has contacted me to ask if I would intimate that Senga Queen's funeral is on Monday, the 4th of June at 10:30 a.m. at Holmesford Bridge Crematorium. So that's Holmesford Bridge Crematorium, Monday, the 4th of June, 10:30. Just talk amongst yourselves, as they say. Right, just... Right, well, and tell Andrew just to come in with the Bible. The Bible. Andrew, you there? Just the lectern. Right, well, we'll have a sing-song if the words come up. For the moment, though, we'll sort of move on with what we can go on with. The psalmist writes, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." And we're still not able to do that yet. Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, as we come into your presence at this time of worship and fellowship, we ask that our souls may be refreshed in your presence. Father, we praise you for all you give to each one of us every day. We see the beauty of this world that you created. Lord, we thank you for the marvel and colour that nature confronts us with each day. As plants burst into bloom after the dull days of winter. Even though we often complain about it, we offer our thanks for the variety of weather that we experience, and we are grateful for the rain, although sunshine at this time of year is very much appreciated. We thank you, Lord, this morning for the love, comfort, and security of family and friends. We praise and thank you also for our homes and for the food that we have to eat each and every day. Lord, we praise you, for you are a great and loving God, and we thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world to show us the extent of that love and to help us see how you would have us live our life, a life that is pleasing to you. Heavenly Father, we know that all too often our living is not pleasing to you. So we come before you in Jesus' name, confessing that in our actions and reactions, we have failed and disappointed you. In our loving and forgiving, we have fallen short. In our believing and trusting, we have denied your grace and power. Lord, we place all the wrongs in each of our hearts before you, knowing that if we confess our sins to you, you will forgive us, cleanse us, and give us a fresh start as we enter a new week. So may we live as those who know they are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for them. All these things we ask in his name and for his sake, and further pray in the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're cooking with gas. Intimations, and I can read them for here as well. Tea and coffee after the service, and of course everyone's welcome to go round for that. The minister's holidays, Dave is currently away at the Church of Scotland General Assembly, and he's there until the 25th of May. And during this period when he's away, if there's any urgent pastoral matters, they should be referred to the Reverend Martin Thompson, and his number is up there, and I'm sure you've all got photographic memories that you'll remember it. But I think it's important that you remember it's Martin Thompson that's covering for Dave. There's a Kaylee for Malawi, and visitors. Church have organised a ceilidh for the visitors from Malawi to experience Scottish music and dancing, as well as have the opportunity to socialise with people from churches in our presbytery. The venue is West Kilbride Village Hall. It's Saturday the 16th of June at 7 p.m. And again, if you're wanting tickets, if you can't remember the telephone number, speak to Ross and Ross will go back to his notes. And that's us. Right, well, we'll sing now our opening praise. And our opening praise is a hymn that Brian did a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was a really very nice hymn. And it's quite appropriate to what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. So it's Holy Spirit, We Welcome You. Thank you. Well, to get us back on track, I did say we would have a bit of a sing-song. Not ask you to stand again, right, for too long, but we'll go to our next hymn, which is the hymn of the month, Before the Throne of God Above. And to make it slightly different, I can't play the guitar, I'm really sorry. So I can't play that for you to sing to that. So have looked at a wee video, or Ross has looked at a wee video for me, is maybe more correct. And it's the hymn of the month, Before the Throne of God Above, and we'll just remain seated to sing it. Children's address, so I've sort of modified it and chosen to call it what Brian, a phrase that Brian used a few weeks ago there, the way in. And I actually have got written here to say, and started to say, last week Brian had me really quite uptight. I'm even more uptight this morning, and it's the screens that have got me uptight. But last week, Brian got me a little bit uptight because he said that Pentecost was a few weeks' time. Well, I had already written some of this, So needless to say, I went home and checked. And today is Pentecost Sunday, the day when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And indeed, some people and some writers over the years have referred to Pentecost as being the church's birthday. Because the apostles were all gathered in one place, and it was 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven. But before he left them, he made a promise to them. And his promise was that the Holy Spirit will come to you. He will give you power to tell people about me. The apostles had stayed together for the 10 days, praying and waiting. And suddenly, a noise like a strong wind filled the house. And the apostles looked and saw what looked like tiny flames of fire fall on each one in the house. And they were filled, the Bible tells us, with the Holy Spirit. At the same time, they began to speak in different languages. Now, Jerusalem at that time was full of Jews from various places who all spoke different languages. And scripture tells us that the people in Jerusalem, no matter where they were from, heard the apostles speak in their language. Some people thought that they were drunk, but Peter told them that no, they weren't drunk. It was too early in the day for that. But there and then, he told them about Jesus Christ. And again, the Bible tells us that on that day, something like 3,000 people became followers of God. So we've got quite a target to meet by getting 3,000 people to come and join us here. So Pentecost is the reminder of how the church started. So today, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, something that was promised by Jesus, we know that the Spirit will help us when we feel sad, when we feel afraid, and it will encourage us to help and help encourage us to show God's love to others. Now, Finlay is going to read the scripture reading that should have come before that, but he's going to tell you the story.
Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, and Peter addresses the crowd. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Israel, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own languages." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken before by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Here endeth the lesson.
We continue our worship singing a hymn from CH4, Holy Spirit, Hear Us. Words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, this is Pentecost Sunday. So obviously, I've been doing some reading about Pentecost. One piece of information that I found looks at Pentecost in the Dark Ages. And by the Dark Ages, I mean the real Dark Ages, because most of us here are of a certain age, and we now tend to think the 50s and 60s as the Dark Ages. But we're talking about the real Dark Ages. And the Dark Ages started in the 5th century and lasted for about 600 years. And it was a bit like a 600-year depression. Food was scarce. People lived hand to mouth, and the one bright spot in some people's lives, at least, was the local cathedral. And cathedrals at that time quite often could be small, and they were built even in small towns and villages. But building cathedrals, even in these small towns, gave people work, and it gave them skills, and it gave these things to thousands. At the same time, the murals that were being painted in these cathedrals, the stained glass windows being created for them, and the carvings being made for them, helped teach the great stories of the Bible in a time when a great number, if not most, people couldn't read. With this in mind, some of the cathedrals were built especially to impress onto the people the meaning of Pentecost. So in the great domes or in the ornate ceilings, there was often small, carefully disguised doors. And during worship on Pentecost Sunday, some poor unfortunate member of the congregation was put up into the roof space, and at the appropriate time in the service, opened this concealed door and set free a dove to fly over the congregation. Now, don't panic. I'll do many a thing. I have to say, my wife would be the first buddy out that door. Yeah. As a wee aside, she's the only person that we went to a walk through aviary of tropical birds, and she thought it was lovely, but she thought it would be nicer if the birds were behind wire that couldn't fly over them. The clue was in the name. So the bird would swoop over the congregation as a living symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, other doors would open again, and buckets of rose petals were showered onto the congregation, symbolizing the tongues of flames falling down on them. And we can only imagine the impact that this would have on these congregations. But as I said, don't worry, there's no birds and there's no rose petals. Don't know where you would get rose petals at this time of year. But perhaps a bit like these medieval Christians, we need reminding of just how important the Holy Spirit is to our lives and to the life of the church. Especially when the church is sometimes now considered to be dull and boring, and numbers attending worship are falling, or when our attempts to reach out to others is sometimes half-hearted, or when telling others about Jesus meets indifference, and in this day and age is becoming increasingly different, or we need simply to realise the importance of the Holy Spirit when our own life meets hardship and hits times of despair. We need reminded that God has provided us with the help we need, and that help is the Holy Spirit, to be channels of his love and truth and grace in an increasingly violent, self-absorbed, materialistic world. Over the years, the writers have described the Holy Spirit in many different ways. It's like a breath that blows away dust and makes everything clean. Or it's like the potter that starts with a shapeless lump of clay and creates something beautiful out of it. Or it's like the parent guiding the wayward child. Or it's like the wake-up call that reminds us that there's more to life than money and material goods, or running ourselves ragged until we are stressed or depressed. Modern advertising's always wanting to list what a product will do for us. Well, what about the Holy Spirit if we were to list its products, what it would do for us? Well, it revitalizes, it renews, it refreshes, it comforts, and it encourages. Jesus told his disciples that the Spirit would be the helper of those whom he left behind to carry on his work. And the Spirit would give them, his followers, the courage to do things that they otherwise would never have been able to do. Pentecost, however, was never really intended as being limited to one day. So if all we are doing today is remembering the giving of the Holy Spirit at that first Pentecost, then to some extent we're wasting our time. Because today we are remembering that the coming of the Holy Spirit is a daily event in the life of the Christian and in the life of the church. The Spirit speaks to us the truth about God. It testifies to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he was born as a human in Bethlehem, died as a human in Calvary, and rose again from the grave, guaranteeing God's promise in the Bible that all who truly believe in him will have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit testifies who we are. We are God's children. It promises that throughout our life, in the highs and the lows of life, God is always there. It reminds us God never gives up on us, although sometimes we might give up on him, and sometimes we tend to think that he has given up completely on us. But regardless of what we think, he comforts us when we're sad and lifts us up when we're down. The Holy Spirit gives us the courage to live as children of God, and through the Spirit working in us, we are given faith, and that faith relies on God and trusts him to help us in everything that we say and everything that we do in all aspects of our life. There are times when we, either as individuals or as a church, don't let the Spirit lead our lives. We don't show the love, the patience, the kindness, the faithfulness, or the self-control that we should. Or as a church, sometimes we lose sight of its purpose and become too consumed with numbers attending or with buildings, rather than getting God's word out to the communities that we serve. In other words, we do get lost. And in this day and age, we use sat-nav to prevent us from getting lost. Not always successfully, I know. But, well, the Spirit can be our spiritual sat-nav, willing and able to direct us in the best ways to serve God and to serve others. It also binds us together in the church. All of us are individuals. We're all so very different. We don't always agree on everything or even get along with one another. But the Spirit binds us together within the church in order to care for one another, encourage one another, and help one another as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no Christians and no church, and the gospel would be unknown, and the world would be in an even bigger mess than we sometimes think it is. The Holy Spirit is to the church what air is to every human being. It surrounds us so completely that we forget it's there. But the Spirit empowers our lives, deepens our faith, and motivates our mission. Yes, we can all stumble and fall and become lackadaisical or lukewarm in our faith, but we must remember that God's Spirit wants to work in each and every one of us to make us individuals that are renewed, refreshed, and revitalized to do the work and to be a church ready to tell and to show others the good news of Jesus Christ and to bring others to the love and grace of God. Amen. We continue our worship singing our next hymn, which is Spirit of Holiness. continue to worship God in our offering. Prayer and in our prayers for others, I'm continuing with what Dave now does and lists some of the prayer things that we should be praying for this week in our own prayers. First of all, we are asked to, from the Ardrossan Presbytery prayer diary, we're asked obviously to pray for the General Assembly as it meets this week. And as well as praying for the General Assembly, we're asked to pray for the commissioners from Ardrossan Presbytery, the ministers, the Reverend Scott Cameron, the Reverend Jonathan Fleming, the Reverend Dave Sutherland, I think we know him, Reverend Tanya Webster, Reverend Jeanette Whitecross, and the Reverend David Watson. We're also asked to pray for the elders, Miss Judith Howison, Mr. Brian Murray, again somebody that we know, Mrs. Alison Page, Mr. Andrew Campbell, Mrs. Deirdre Murray, and Mrs. Jean Hunter. And also for the deacon that we know, Isabel Beck, who's also attending. From the Crossreach Prayer Circle, we're asked to pray for the Social Care Council. The council oversees the work of Crossreach and comprises of 31 people who have a professional background or particular interest in social care. And we're also asked to pray for Path of Renewal, up for Barry with Carnoustie Parish Church, and that's the town of Barry. I think that sounds like some unknown person, Barry. But we're asked to pray for Barry with Carnoustie Parish Church and the minister there, the Reverend Mike Goss, and the mentor, the Reverend Monica Redman. Let's come before God again in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, you are an abundant God, and out of your grace and mercy, you have given us so much. We place before you now our monetary offering and also give our whole selves to you, asking that you take all that we offer and use it and us for the furtherance of your kingdom in this church and parish, as well as further afield. May everything be used wisely and be a great blessing to many. Father, we pray for the Social Care Council and for Barry with Carnoustie Parish Church as they journey on Path of Renewal. Lord God, we pray for our Church of Scotland as it meets in General Assembly and for the commissioners from Ardrossan Presbytery who are attending. Lord, we ask that the General Assembly might be more than a talking shop. Let it also be a driving force in spreading your word and spirit throughout our country. Father, we know that there are many out there who need to know of your love and who need not simply faith, but need, as the Salvation Army say, faith in action. Lord God, we pray this morning for those who feel that life has not only passed them by, but has forgotten about them completely. Lord, in your mercy, bring to them the compassion from others that will help answer their needs. We pray for the down and out, the homeless, the hungry, and those who live in the midst of conflict and war. We remember those who are the victims of natural disasters and ask that all needs may be met and prayers answered. We remember those who are sick today in hospital and at home and ask for them your healing. And we place before you those who today will be called into your presence, asking for them true peace. And we remember all who mourn, asking that you will place within them a knowledge of your presence and peace. Lord God, we realize that your hands in this world need to be human hands. So we ask that on this Pentecost Sunday, the wind of your presence and the flame of your spirit will blow throughout the world and burn in the hearts of men and women, inspiring and encouraging them into action to address the many varied and many needs of their fellow human beings. All of these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. We close our service singing our final hymn, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free."
Thank you.
As we go from this time of worship and enter a new week, may we experience God's presence. May we feel God pouring out the Holy Spirit over our heads, into our thoughts, into the words of our lips, and into our compassion for others as we try to put into action all that God asks of us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us and those whom we love today and every day. Sing the introit, but we'll sing the exit, a new commandment.